Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Nashville Cowboy, a Men of Stone Ridge novel by Heatherly Bell, narrated by Johanna Parker. Prologue.
There's apparently a small matter that I need to address. The very nature of our little town has some young women taken temporary leave of their senses. Yes, you may have heard the rumors, and they're true. We hold the dubious distinction of being the town with the greatest number of runaway brides in history. And though we're never completely shocked when this happens, it's still a sad situation. Jilted grooms are not what we'd like our town to be known for. The problem is, because our women have often dated more than one man, and they have such fine choices before them, they hesitate to settle down with one. Why do they get all the way to the altar before they figure this out, you may ask? I wish I knew. You may have guessed, but this is also true. There's a wedding in the works, and our very own Nashville cowboy, Jackson Carver, will be coming home to be his older brother Lincoln's best man. As luck or fate would have it, the maid of honor, Eve Iglesias, happens to be the same woman who left poor Jackson at the altar. While we don't exactly expect a brawl to break out between these two, anything could happen. And we sure don't want anything to interfere with the Stevens-Carver wedding. A long time coming, believe you me. To say we're all a little sensitive about these upcoming nuptials is perhaps an understatement. We're worried sick. Beulah Hayes, acting president of the Society of Reasonable, Respectable, Orderly Women, Sorrow, and author of The Men of Stone Ridge, 10th edition.
Chapter 1. Lincoln Carver woke to a beautiful, naked woman splayed all over him, her long, sweet-smelling hair fanned across his chest. Her arm was slung across his waist, one curvy leg between his two legs. Good thing it was his fiancée, Sadie Stevens, also known as the love of his life. Lincoln Carver was one lucky cowboy, and he knew it. He scrubbed a hand down his face. But Jesus, lucky or not, he was not looking forward to today. His brother would be arriving.
Baby, wake up.
Hmm?
Do you know what I have to do today?
Make me coffee?
Pick Jackson up at the airport.
Hmm,
she mumbled, and then, as if just now hearing him,
oh.
Yep.
She shifted, and he tugged her into his arms.
Not going to be a fun time.
She sat up straight, her hair adorably mussed.
Today? He's coming back today.
Uh-oh. He did not like the look on her face, filled with hope and anticipation that had nothing to do with him, or how lucky he might get this morning. Sadie,
he said in a warning tone.
We talked about this.
I know we did, and I'm not doing anything but standing by, watching, helpless, as Jackson and Eve are reunited once more.
She smiled and smoothed down her hair.
You can't stand in the path of true love. All I'm doing is providing the perfect opportunity. They're going to stand up for us at Trinity Church, and when they glance at each other across the altar,
he'll reach over and wring her neck,
he provided helpfully.
No, baby.
She settled back down into his arms, resting her head on his shoulder.
They're supposed to realize that could have been them at the altar, and that maybe it's not too late.
There's a little thing you're forgetting. She ran out on him on the day of their wedding, and my brother is not the forgiven type.
What if he still loves her?
She propped her chin on his chest.
There you go, getting carried away again.
I just want them to be as happy as we are. Remember, you didn't want to fall in love and get married either. And now look at you.
Yeah, now look at me.
He splayed his hands behind his neck.
Morning sex, afternoon sex, nighttime sex. I'm really suffering here.
She thumped his pack.
One-track mind.
Sadie knew he was kidding. Not that he didn't enjoy the constant sex, because he sure did. But he loved this woman. He'd do anything for Sadie. But Jackson would be put through enough having to be the best man, while Eve was maid of honor. She was Sadie's best friend. No matter what Jackson said, there was a reason he was still so bitter. He'd gone on to quite a bit of success in Nashville, married a beautiful country singer, even if they divorced after 3 months. He'd moved on, in other words. No fool, Lincoln saw quite clearly that both Sadie and his grandmother, Meemaw, were up to no good. Eve was already living at the Carver house, taking over Meemaw's duties since she broke her arm. No one wanted to tell Jackson. Lincoln would, but he figured he'd soften the blow and tell him in person.
I love you, Sadie said. Did I tell you today?
Yeah, he'd never get tired of hearing that. And I love you back. And when his fiancée straddled him with a wicked smile, he forgot all about what he would be doing later today, because at least his day was starting off right.
Thank you for cooking, sugar. Jackson will be expecting my banana cream pie for dessert,
Lillian, Meemaw, Carver said.
Now, make sure you beat those egg whites till they're stiff and beautiful peaks.
Eve Iglesias did as she was told, while Meemaw issued orders from her seat at the kitchen table and simultaneously read her latest book. Secretly, Eve thought Meemaw was enjoying her time off from the kitchen maybe a little too much. And she was enjoying her new role as kitchen overlord in a rather extravagant and obvious way.
You sure y'all told Jackson about me?
Eve asked, angling the whisk to beat the heck out of those egg whites. Good therapy.
Of course, darling. I'm sure Lincoln and Sadie told him all about you being in the wedding.
I don't mean that. Eve prayed for a big dose of saintly patience. It was one thing to be paired with her ex-fiancé at the church, quite another to be staying at the family home in his old bedroom. Does he know that I'm living here and taking care of you? She glanced heavenward.
Lord have mercy. Why did I have to break my right arm? Couldn't it have been my left arm? I've got no use at all for my left arm. It could just hang there all day, and I wouldn't know the difference. Sugar, I really hope those pork chops are like my Jackson likes them. Juicy and tender on the inside. Golden, crispy, and crunchy on the outside.
For crying out loud, the woman should write a cookbook. Ode to the beauty of food or something. Eve was already hungry enough. She was dying to bite into a chop. She'd had a long enough day with the Harrisons' colicky mare and the Garcias' pregnant goat. She'd driven an hour in each direction, and with nearly the entire day gone, finally came home to the Double C Ranch in time to cook supper. She didn't know if she was exhausted or terrified, possibly both. Either way, the old pebble in her throat took up its former residency. She could barely swallow, much less eat. A small part of her was certain that Jackson would have long ago forgiven her for ditching him at the altar, even if they hadn't spoken a word since that day. After all, he'd bounced back. Well, the same couldn't be said about her. She'd managed, survived. Not one to feel sorry for herself. Eve didn't want anyone's pity.
I followed your directions, Eve said, opening the lid to peek.
They look good enough to eat.
Smell good, too. You're an angel. That's what you are. An angel sent from up above.
Aw, Eve said, as she did every time Meemaw loved on her. When Eve returned home after graduating from Texas A&M, it was to the surprising forgiveness and open arms of Meemaw Carver. After her little stunt at Trinity Church, other than her own family and Sadie, the residents of Stone Ridge turned on her. Some refused to speak to her. The mothers didn't want Eve dating their sons, because even with the shortage of women, no one should take another chance on a runaway bride. Not that she was interested in dating anyone. But Sadie understood. Sadie knew what it was like to love a Carver cowboy. In Sadie's case, she'd pined away for Lincoln for years until he'd finally noticed her. Now they were getting married, and every last desperate man in town could quit hoping there would be a last-minute change in plans. This wedding was happening because Sadie and Lincoln were made for each other. You didn't answer the question, Eve pressed. Does Jackson know I'm living here?
Well, now, sugar, when would I have time to tell him? I've been busy getting my poor arm broken in 3 places, having surgery. I think you know all this. Been directing you to cook just the way my cowboys like. Been helping Sadie and her mother plan the wedding. I've got no time at all to spare.
She waved her hand in the air dismissively.
Just as Eve suspected. Mortification pulsed through her, followed closely by terror. Jackson would be either cold and standoffish, or madder than a wet hen. Neither would be a whole lot of fun.
Lincoln could have told him, and he probably did.
Don't you worry none. No one's going to kick you out of my home.
But this was Jackson. No one had a better cause to be angry and hostile. Even Meemaw barely spoke a word to Eve right after she'd humiliated Jackson. Then Meemaw heard what happened to Eve while away at college, and her heart was big enough to forgive.
Just as she put the last of the finishing touches on the large farmer's dining table that seated 12, Daisy rushed in.
Sorry I'm late. There was traffic in Kerrville that slowed me up some.
Get washed up for dinner, Meemaw said. Jackson is on his way. Ought to be here any minute.
Crowding Eve at the sink, Daisy elbowed her.
Bet you're nervous. You could say that.
Don't worry. I won't let him kill you.
She put her hands out, karate chop style.
If he tries, I'll get him for you.
Ha-ha, that's funny. Eve hip-checked Daisy. Daisy was one of several auto mechanics down at Lou's Auto, 40 miles away in Kerrville, with a shortage of jobs in Stone Ridge, most taken up by the men in town. Some women moved away, but Eve moved back after college, and she and her partner, Annabeth Danzer, were the only vets in the area. Eve would have preferred fading into the background, but the men of Stone Ridge made that difficult.
Chapter 2
Minutes after the plane taxied to a full stop, Jackson Carver unbuckled, pulled the brim of his black Stetson low, and stood to grab his carry-on from the overhead compartment. Lincoln would pick him up in baggage claim and drive him the 60 miles home. 2 weeks before the wedding day, time he planned to use unwinding. Fresh off a 50-city tour, he needed a long break, more like a hibernation. His last recording contract fell apart in a mix of creative differences and management issues. The producer they'd hired walked off, and all contracts were dissolved.
Welcome to Texas,
the pilot said over the intercom, and then went on to offer today's temperatures.
Ah, Texas weather. There were only 2 seasons in Texas, winter and summer. They both often happened in the same week.
To hear the pilot describe it, today was winter, even if the calendar said June. Tomorrow, 80s were forecasted. No, Jackson wasn't exactly a stranger to Texas, but for the past several years, he'd resided both on a tour bus and in Nashville. But he would have preferred a vacation on a deserted island. He wasn't thrilled to be going back to his hometown, and there was little else that could have brought him back other than Lincoln's wedding. He would have preferred to return once his career took off, but that hadn't happened in 8 long years. It was said that an overnight sensation took 10 years, so he should be in his 7th inning stretch. Right. He'd come home for the wedding, but it was also a good chance to unplug. With little to no cell phone reception on their ranch and spotty downtown, he'd be relegated to the home landline. He'd left the number with his manager and musician friends, for emergencies only. The bright June sunshine pooled over the brim of his hat, casting his view in shadows. His boots thudded across the cement tarmac toward the small building of the regional airport. He followed the crowd to baggage claim, grabbed his guitar case and one other bag, then walked to the curb and scanned the horizon. Lincoln stood just outside the driver's side of his truck, wearing a dark leather jacket, Stetson. His long legs spread in a stance, arms crossed, big brother smirk firmly in place. Jackson might be known as Nashville's cowboy among his friends and band members because of his ranching roots, but Lincoln Carver was the real deal. Jackson stopped short of the truck, his gaze sweeping over the red 4-wheel drive glimmering in the sun. Lincoln must have taken it through the car wash recently, because new or not,
A truck that lived on their ranch was never this clean. He slid his hand down the hood in admiration.
You dare pick me up in this piece of shit?
Jackson asked, sarcasm heavy. Lincoln burst into loud peals of rich laughter. And a moment later, he hauled Jackson into a bear hug. A bear hug, because the man was a bear. Huge, even to Jackson's 6 feet. He'd put on weight, too, and this before his wedding day.
Missed you, little bro, Lincoln said. Same.
Jackson wasn't much of a hugger anymore. He regularly hugged 3 people in his life. Lincoln, their younger sister, Daisy, and their grandmother, Meemaw.
Guessing Sadie's still a real good cook. You've put on a few since I last seen you.
Lincoln pulled back to pat his belly.
Guessed right. Enjoyed every last minute of it.
Heard you were supposed to gain weight after the wedding, he snorted. Lincoln cleared his throat.
Looking on the thin side yourself. Meemaw will fix that in no time, I'm sure.
Jackson expected a laugh, but when he didn't get one, the small icicle that slid over his heart the second he'd heard who the maid of honor would be spread like tentacles.
His family,
doing their Carver thing, keeping him in the dark like a mushroom, feeding him just the same. Something was wrong.
Yeah,
Lincoln said without looking at him.
Uh-huh, she will.
They grabbed his luggage, threw it in the back, and climbed into the truck for the drive through Texas Hill Country to the small town of Stone Ridge. Their town was unique for a handful of reasons, one of them being that they were so far removed from everything that they tended to rely on each other. Now that he'd traveled all over the country and seen his share of mountain peaks and valleys, he appreciated the big Texas sky far better. The view was at times so open and unobstructed, you'd swear the land went on forever, but it only seemed that way. Jackson's mind worked overtime with every passing mile. There surely couldn't be anything worse than informing Jackson that Eve would be the maid of honor while he'd be the best man. He'd received the news several months ago, and with time, digested the idea.
Time to tuck in the anger and hostility,
all he had left for Eve.
He'd get over his damn self.
There could be nothing worse than facing the woman who'd ripped his heart out and stomped all over it, humiliating him in front of a full church.
Nothing worse than having to face her after 8 years of struggling and too many record deals that fell through. Nothing worse, other than maybe. Shit, Link, what the hell's wrong? What did Daisy do? Is it Meemaw? What are y'all keeping from me now?
Daisy's fine. Still fixing engines down at Lou's. Still got her eye on the rodeo cowboys. Lincoln kept driving on the main highway headed south.
And Meemaw? Well, she's all right.
Carver code for. It was bad there for a while, cowboy, but we made it through. In other words, Jackson heard a but coming.
But?
She had a little fall. Jackson pulled off his hat and shoved his fingers through his hair.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Said she's fine, didn't I? Stubborn woman tried to climb a ladder in her bedroom closet, determined to find something old for Sadie to wear in the wedding. Broke her arm in 3 places. She had surgery and...
Surgery? Why didn't you think to call me?
You were on tour.
My cell phone works all over the country, you know.
Lincoln blew out an exasperated-sounding sigh.
Nothing you could do, except worry.
Spared you that. And now she's fine. She's recovering at home, with some hired help to make sure she doesn't try to overdo it. Jackson allowed his shoulders to unkink.
Smart. That's good. Glad you think so.
Link cleared his throat.
Got her a great companion. And Meemaw loves her. She does now, anyway. Took a bit to grow on her, did she?
Jackson grinned. The octogenarian did not suffer fools. Or at least that was one of her favorite Southwest sayings, of which she had an entire catalog.
Something like that. Let me know how much she's charging, and I'll help pay for it.
Jackson reclined his seat and settled in for the long drive.
He might catch a wink or two, since he hadn't slept well on the plane. Where am I staying? The main house? Yeah, if you don't mind.
Meemaw lived on the main ranch-style house on their land, where she'd raised 2 generations of Carvers.
Raised a son, watched a daughter-in-law walk away from her family,
and subsequently helped raise another generation of Carvers. They'd lost Pop a few years ago. Their father, Hank, resided in the smaller house up the hill near the lodge, and Link should know that Jackson would rather not stay with him. Hank still controlled most of the cattle operations, Lincoln, his right-hand man.
Why would I mind staying at the main house?
You might, after I tell you what I have to next.
Ha, there it is.
He did know his family.
What are you holding out?
I don't want you to get upset.
Why would I get upset?
Every muscle in him tensed to the consistency of granite.
Maybe because you got off that plane already looking like you wanted to throttle someone.
Not true. Look, I can't help that Sadie and Eve have been best friends since high school. You should know better than anyone else how close they are.
How can I tell my future wife that she can't have Eve as her maid of honor because it will royally piss off the best man?
Can't. I got over it. I'll deal.
You sure?
Got over Eve years ago.
He clasped his hands behind his neck.
After my joke of a marriage to Winona, I'm never even thinking of settling down again.
Oh, well, that's good to hear,
Lincoln said with the hint of a smile.
I'm relieved. Glad to relieve you. Because it's Eve been staying at the house for a few weeks now, taking care of Meemaw.
At first, Jackson thought he'd heard wrong, but then the roar in his ears grew louder, brighter, taking up every empty space, taking up everything, and he realized he'd heard right. Eve, who humiliated him by making him a laughingstock, living in his family home. His family home.
Tell me I heard wrong.
Jackson spoke between gritted teeth.
Tell me Eve isn't staying at the house.
You said you're over her.
That still doesn't mean I want her living in my family's home.
Shoot, she was the best person for the job.
Why? She's a large animal veterinarian, not a nurse. We could have hired someone, a real nurse. Hell, why not a doctor on call 24/7? Only the best for Meemaw.
She's got the best, far as she's concerned.
Meemaw loves her again. You know, after she got past all the...
Lincoln struggled for words.
The leaving her grandson at the altar shit? Yeah, that.
Lincoln had the decency to wince.
It was 8 years ago.
Thanks, I'm fully aware of how long it's been.
You haven't been back home since then, so you don't know what went on.
Eve came back, and eventually she and Mrs. Hollis's niece took over her practice. But, hell, apparently vet school is pretty damn expensive.
Meemaw figured she'd give her free room and board, help her get back on her feet, paying back some of those loans.
She's got loans to pay off, then we can all pitch in and help. I don't want her at the house while I'm there. Fire her, or I will.
Boy, you must have swallowed a bottle of crazy if you think Eve will take our charity.
Not mine, but she'll take Meemaw's.
Fire churned in Jackson's gut.
Years traveling the country, playing in Nashville honky-tonks, and wherever else he could book the band. Then getting that elusive recording contract, losing it, getting another one, also losing that one. Still, he pulled himself up, night after stinking night. He'd been a mess after Eve stood him up. Left town for Nashville the next day. And the rest was history. So was Eve.
His very unpleasant history.
That's different. She's paid for all she's doing to help out around the house. Cooking for the ranch hands. All the stuff Meemaw used to do. She doesn't get a salary. Wouldn't take one. Just the room and board.
Why can't she stay with Brenda? Doesn't she still work for the Truehearts?
After her father had left their family, Eve's mother, Brenda, took work as a live-in maid and cook on the horse ranch that abutted the Double C Ranch. It would be a long walk and a short ride.
Meemaw wouldn't hear of it. That cottage is so small for the two of them, and Eve hasn't lived there for years. But Brenda's over now and again to help out and visit with Eve.
I'll get a room at the Lone Star Old Motel.
Closed down 2 years ago.
Lincoln shook his head.
Went the way of the gym. We knew it wouldn't last. Jackson cursed.
He could stay with his father in the home up the hill and get to hear cattle talk all the livelong day and night. Hank Carver would no doubt take pleasure in reminding Jackson that he wasn't just a Nashville cowboy, but a real one. He'd then make his passive-aggressive jokes about what Jackson did for a living. No thanks. It was rough enough to come back without much success to speak of, but another to have his father remind him daily that he'd made a mistake. As Lincoln drove them into town, Jackson was treated to the town limit sign, which hadn't changed in years. Welcome to Stone Ridge, established 1806 by Titus Ridge. Population 5,010. Women eat free every night at the Shady Grind. Jackson chuckled. Yep, there was no town in the country quite like his hometown. Following the city limit signage was a newer looking one that read, Women are especially welcome. This is getting ridiculous, Jackson said as they passed the new signage. We passed ridiculous a long time ago. Beulah Hayes is trying to put together a good old-fashioned email order bride service. Plus, you know, we got to plan for the future. Ever since we got engaged, Sadie's mother has her drinking a concoction of garlic, spices, and pickled pig's feet that's supposed to favor her having a girl. Yeah, that's not ridiculous at all. Lincoln shrugged. I'm good with a boy or a girl. Wait, she's not. Nah, we're not pregnant. Just want to marry her. Yeah? Why? Why does anyone want to get married? I love that woman. I almost lost her because I didn't notice her soon enough. I'd pretty much given up on ever getting married unless I met someone from out of town. You can love a lot of people, women included. Doesn't mean you have to marry any of them. Think about it. Thought about it. Once I noticed Sadie, I couldn't unnotice her. Know what I mean? Yep, she got under your skin. He understood. At one time, he couldn't have conceived of a life without Eve. Now he'd lived several years of a life without her, and it worked, mostly. It was hard to have a relationship on the road anyway, with plenty of women to pick from. He couldn't discern whether a woman wanted him or just had a hankering to be with a musician. He didn't have room for a real relationship in his life. He'd been jilted once and divorced once. No thanks. Lincoln patted Jackson's shoulder. Take it easy. 2 weeks is all. I'll be married to Sadie and you can take off again. You'll be in and out of here like a Texas windstorm. Well, brother, that's the plan.
Chapter 3. Eve heard the front door open, slam shut, and seconds later, Jackson Carver stood in the doorframe of the large kitchen. He was, as always, bigger than life to her. Tall and imposing, he looked thinner than some of the more recent photos she'd seen of him online, lankier. He wore what looked like a day's worth of beard growth dusting his jaw and chin. His hat partially shaded his face, and thankfully kept her from those always deep blue and penetrating eyes. Her heart gave a powerful and unwelcome tug.
Hiya, buddy! Daisy was the first to hug her big brother.
Hey, Daisy.
Oh, my Lord, that voice. As always, deep and gravelly, and scraping the edges of her girly parts.
Daisy moved aside, and he went for a hug from Meemaw.
Why, it's nothing other than my favorite, Nashville Cowboy,
Meemaw teased him.
Woman, funny enough, you're still my favorite grandmother, even if you won't tell me when you're hurt.
Now, I didn't want you worrying about me. I've been just fine. And Eve here, well, she's been helping me get along.
Everyone's eyes turned to Eve, the runaway bride. She could feel Jackson's eyes on her, sharp enough to pierce her skin. Eve took a step back from Meemaw, and heart seemingly thumping in her eyes, she found words.
Hey, Jackson.
Eve,
he said, his voice sounding as warm and fuzzy as a glacier.
No surprise, he was still angry.
She could tell him a few things that had happened to her between now and that day, when her stupid 20-year-old self left him at the church. She hadn't been the wisest woman on the planet at the time, but now realized she hadn't been much different than any other 20-year-old. Or at least, any 20-year-old that grew up in a lopsided town like theirs.
Maybe it gave her illusions of grandeur to be so special, one of few women, and she thought she deserved better than a man who would only marry her because he couldn't figure a way out.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?